The prisoner exchange over the weekend came just as Western economic sanctions on Iran were being lifted. That's one of the steps called for in the nuclear deal with Iran that's now being implemented. And it means Tehran can now start returning to the global financial system. But at the same time, the Obama administration has also just announced new sanctions against Iran. They target the Iranian ballistic missile program. To explain how all this works, we've got Matthew Levitt on the line. He's with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He's also a former official of the U.S. Treasury Department. Matthew, to start with, what triggered these new missile sanctions?
These new missile sanctions were triggered by ballistic missile tests that Iran conducted in the fall, and that the UN Monitoring Committee just in December determined was in fact an explicit violation of UN Security Council resolutions. The administration had announced they were going to do it last week, but then it apparently got caught up in this prisoner exchange business, and so they did it now, right after the day after implementation day.
So what do these new sanctions do, and how are they different from the nuclear sanctions on Iran that were just lifted?
Well, they do very little, and it's not the sanction itself, the persons or companies that are sanctioned, that really are important here. What's important is the symbol that when the administration says it intends to continue to pursue sanctions for illicit Iranian activity under sanctions that still exist, it's serious about doing that. The sanctions that have been removed are all of the proliferation sanctions and many of the other financial sanctions. But what remain in place are sanctions on Iran's other illicit conduct, specifically support for terrorism, human rights violations, and ballistic missile production.
So what happens when an individual is targeted, say in the case of these sanctions that were just announced? What changes for the people having sanctions imposed on them? What can't they do now?
First of all, there's a naming and shaming element here. Second of all, they can't do business with the United States. But most importantly, the secondary sanctions remain. And that means that foreigners, say European banks, Asian banks, cannot do business with these entities if they want to continue doing business with the United States, having access to dollars, etc. And that makes it, even though this is really a unilateral action, it gives it kind of multilateral or international effect.
Republicans in the U.S. have made a lot of noise about the billions of dollars of frozen funds now being released to Iran. But there seems to be some confusion about where this money is coming from. Is this actual Iranian money frozen in U.S. accounts?
It does include some money that's been frozen in U.S. accounts. It includes other funds as well. The most important thing to understand is that it's not all liquid funds. It's not money you have, you know, in your wallet ready to spend. Some of it has been is already being used for business dealings, say, in China. And there's been a lot of hype about the amount of money. You've seen or heard probably numbers in the $100 billion, $150 billion. And the number seems to be much closer to about $56 billion. Still a huge amount of money, but much less than some are saying.
Now, you're somebody who has followed this issue for a long time and really know the ins and outs of sanctions. And when you look at this deal and you look at kind of how things have moved forward over the weekend, are you thinking, okay, this looks solid? Or are you thinking, no, there's all sorts of leaks, there's all sorts of ways to get around this?
There's no way to deny that there are all kinds of ways to get around this. But the deal could still be a positive thing if it is fully, fully enforced. There are so many ways to evade sanctions and to do things that we may not be able to pick up on. You know, the fact is intelligence is never perfect. And so there's always a danger when a country like Iran, that is still considered the foremost state sponsor of terrorism, is still holding Americans, is fomenting instability across the Middle East, especially in Syria, but beyond, that they're going to try and cheat. I think there's no question. And you cannot guarantee that we will know of all of that cheating. So we're going to have to be extremely vigilant in how we pursue existing sanctions and how we array our collection platforms for intelligence to be able to be on top of what they are and are not doing.
Matthew Levitt is with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you.